the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Ben Groskop with the First Amendment Committee, and he is with a group that are very, very, very concerned about the progressive destruction of our individual rights. Now, most people really aren't too concerned about it. They somehow believe that the legislation that's being passed will never affect them. And I think that this is a very natural situation, you know. If somebody else in your neighborhood gets sick and ill, why, of course, that's too bad, but it doesn't affect you. Well, I really believe that we are all involved. Because if you put all the little dots together and see what's happening at the national level, in the name of defeating the wicked Osama bin Laden, who wants to take away our freedom because he hates us because we're free, why, step by step, the people in Washington, D.C. are destroying the very freedom that has made America different than any other nation throughout recorded history. Ben, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me on your show, Stan.
Why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about your organization and why you're concerned about the Military Commission Act and the John Warner Act and even this most recent presidential directive. So you pick up the story.
Well, thanks. Yeah, my group is called the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, and we are concerned with defending all the Bill of Rights, especially the ones that have been most severely undermined since September 11th. And we've seen a whole lot of different pieces of legislation that have really undermined basic individual liberties in this country. One of those first ones was the Patriot Act. As people know, it was a sweeping piece of legislation that gave tremendous new powers to federal policing agencies to really invade people's privacy, to detain people longer. There was a lot in that. You mentioned the Military Commissions Act, an act passed in the fall of 2006 that what basically took away the right of habeas corpus, a very fundamental right that's been with us since 1215. 800 years of this right that tells the government that they must put you before an independent trial, an independent judge, to see if the charges against you are really true. It really literally means present the body, so it means that the defendant has a chance in court to contest charges brought against them. It's the fundamental right that we need in order to protect against completely out of control executive authority.
But of course, the argument on the other side is, but that's just for terrorists. You don't have anything to worry about that. After all, that's just for non-citizens who are terrorists. How do you counter that? Is it going to possibly affect anybody who is an American citizen or anybody who's not a terrorist?
Well, the Military Commissions Act denies the right. It takes away the right of habeas corpus for anyone who's not a citizen. So this means anybody in the world. And there's also, we've seen citizens in this country treated in very unconstitutional ways. We have Jose Padilla, who stayed in jail for over 5 years, many of those years in solitary confinement, truly psychologically damaging situation. And the thing is that if we don't have this right, we're not going to be able to effectively find actual terrorists at all. What's happened, unfortunately, people hear about Guantanamo Bay, one of those places where many hundreds of men have been detained indefinitely. Now, the government has told us that these are the worst of the worst. Absolutely the worst people that you could possibly imagine have been put there in Guantanamo Bay. Well, you might ask why over half of the people that have been detained there since September 11th, actually January 11th, 2002 is when that particular base opened up for its detention center. But since that date, over half of those detainees have been released. Now, either the government is releasing known terrorists, or they are saying we got it wrong, and there's a lot of reason to believe that it's the latter, that they got it wrong, because what happened in places like Afghanistan after the United States invaded in October 2002 was they actually gave thousands and thousands of dollars. They offered thousands of dollars to people all over Afghanistan to bring in, you know, Taliban collaborators. Remember the Taliban, which we were, supposed to be fighting in that war? Well, what you do in a situation like that is you create an incredible economic incentive for regular people to turn in, just people they don't like or anybody just to make a quick buck. Basically, the United States was handing out this money to people, and a lot of those people who got turned in for ransoms of $25,000, you know, the U.S. put out leaflets all over the country of Afghanistan saying, hey, if you turn in known Taliban collaborators, you'll have enough money to feed your family and your village. And in a poor country like Afghanistan, it's, you know, not so surprising that people would go along with that. But the problem is that now we have hundreds of people still at Guantanamo. About last I heard, over 300, somewhere between that and 400 people still in Guantanamo. But these people have not been given a trial, so we don't even know if they are terrorists. That's the thing. You really have to have a fair trial for everybody in order to know whether they're a terrorist or to know whether the government has just been, using their situation for its own political gain.
Well, I think that the most significant thing about the Military Commission Act, to me, was that you can say, well, it's only for the terrorists, but one of the specific conditions of the Military Commission Act was no judge or court could intervene. In other words, they had said that there is no way that the court could intervene. So imagine that you are an American citizen, you're thrown in jail, and you demand the right of habeas corpus, and they deny it to you, and you want to appeal to the court, but they specifically stipulate the court can't intervene. Now, admittedly, that is constitutional. Article 3, Section 2 says that the Congress should pass a law that will limit the power of our courts to intervene. But that is indeed frightening when they say you've got nothing to worry about because you're a citizen, and yet, of course, how would you prove you were a citizen from the dungeon after years and no court can intervene? Why would they put that in? You would think that they would want to have this balance of power, but they don't. This is the centralization of power with the executive branch of government.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of C&C Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation. Have you heard this teaching? Have you wondered if it was true? The Watchman's Cry is an interesting book by Obadiah Frank that uses the Bible and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get the Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Ben Grosko, Bill Wright's Defense Committee Commission, and they're concerned about what's happening to our country, and everyone in the audience ought to be concerned. The only trouble is, of course, we're really more concerned about what's going to happen, you know, with the World Series game, with certainly the Colorado team, the Rockies, are going to be playing. Isn't that great? But freedom is a very precious thing, and it is under attack today. And the Military Commission Act, one of the things it did was essentially say, we're not going to abide by the Geneva Convention as far as torture or mistreatment of prisoners. And ladies and gentlemen, you could be one of those prisoners down the line, because anybody is a potential terrorist, anybody who disagrees with what's going on. But even more than that, there was a retroactive excuse for people who having tortured people. But, of course, we want you to know, the President has assured us, we do not use torture. However, in the Military Commission Act, there is retroactive, a release from any liability for having tortured people, sometimes even torturing them to death. Then why is there no outcry from the American people?
Well, I think that there really is outcry. I mean, one of the things that the Bill of Rights Defense Committee has been doing is helping people around the country raise up their voices against these unconstitutional actions by the government. You know, right in, all over the country, we've had 412 different local governments, county governments, state governments, 8 different state governments have passed resolutions supporting the Bill of Rights and seeing certain policies that have violated the Bill of Rights, such as the Patriot Act, but certainly not limited to that, that have gone in the face of that and said, hey, look, Congress, you gotta watch out what's happening here. You need to go back to these basic constitutional principles that ensure people basic liberties that are necessary for a decent society. That's what we're talking about. You know, a decent society is one in which people can be assured that they have certain rights, that the government can't just do whatever you want, whatever it wants. In fact, you know, even in places like Colorado, Fort Collins, Denver, and Boulder, all these places are places whose city councils have passed resolutions actually upholding the Bill of Rights as a principle that ought to be followed in all these policies. So I guess I would just beg to differ a little bit that there has been a lot of outcry. And moreover, you know, I'm not saying that there's been enough outcry, but there really are opportunities for us. And that's, I think, such an important point, is that, you know, we're not helpless in this situation. You know, we can talk with our neighbors. We can get together. We can hold meetings. We can educate each other. We can really build a movement that is going to be needed in order to protect basic rights in this society.
Well, now, certainly there are a lot of Americans who feel that torture of a terrorist is all right. After all, if it might prevent, a nuclear attack or weapons of mass destruction attack on one of our cities, aren't we justified in torturing terrorists to do that? Think of all the lives we'd save by torturing them.
Well, you know, I think that that's not true.
I know it isn't
true. There are arguments out there that say that torture can be effective, but what we've found time and time again is that not only is it's not effective at all for getting good intelligence. You know, there was people who interviewed some of the Nazi war criminals from Germany after the fall of the Nazis, and they said that they were able to get more information intelligence-wise out of one of those people by playing a game of chess with them rather than torturing them as is happening now. And as you pointed out, the Military Commissions Act is one of those pieces of legislation that really immunizes torturers in the government from any kind of reprisal, legally, that is. Now, there's a deeper part of this. Why, then, does the government torture? I think we have to ask that question. And I really think that it has to do with the fear that can be instilled through torture. You know, it's certainly not effective. It's not helping us make us any safer. you know, there's really no way to regulate it to make it okay. You know, and just basically, it's morally abominable to think that we would torture a person for any reason. I think that there really has to be, it's already there in international law. There is an absolute, unwavering, unconditional prohibition of torture in international law, in conventions like the Geneva Convention. And I think that the United States will really benefit itself by abiding and reaffirming these basic principles. And certainly, in order to do that, we're going to have to repeal the Military Commissions Act.
Well, now, how do you feel about this recent legislation that Congressman Ron Paul has introduced? House Resolution 3835. Are you acquainted with that?
Is this the American Freedom Agenda?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the American Freedom Agenda has been a very important organization in promoting basic ideas of constitutional constraints on state power. You know, actually, Bruce Fein, who's one of the people involved with that group, and I understand that Ron Paul is a supporter of them. You know, we've talked with him. He's been a very very eloquent voice, you know, for restoring basic civil liberties in this country. And you know, he's a very interesting person.
Well, one of the things that really bothers me is the average minister in America, or the average a priest in America, will not speak out against torture. Will not speak out against, you know, going against the Geneva Convention. What's happened to the soul of? Certainly, we have a lot of probably very liberal, city councils and maybe, you know, county commissioners who voted, you know, their concern about what's happening. But so many of our leaders are going right along with this. In fact, if you've watched any of the Republican debates, all of the Republicans, except I think for McCain and Ron Paul, have supported torture. After all, it's got to protect America. What's happened to these people?
Well, you know, even McCain has I think slipped on that a bit. And you know, his role as a senator, you know, he's been supportive of the Bush administration, you know, compromise. And that compromise is roughly believe that the government is telling what it's telling the truth when it says we don't torture. And you know,
but
leave
how
it at
could
that.
They say that we don't torture when they specified it was all right in the Military Commission Act? You can't have it both ways. Either we torture,
well,
or
the way
we
that
don't.
They get around this is by redefining what torture means, and it's a very dangerous thing to denude words of their meaning.
It's
and words
like
torture have meaning.
It means
waterboarding,
like the meaning
is torture,
is. And we criticize Clinton for saying that. But what does the meaning of torture mean? Well, it depends on how you define it.
Yeah, but there really are definitions that just don't change. And you can't just change it because you're in political power. That's a very undemocratic thing to do with language, and it affects how we discuss issues. It affects policy. I mean, look at torture is also psychological torture. When you take a person and you subject them to complete sensory deprivation, which is what is happening in U.S. detention centers in many places around the world, some of which are secret, the so-called black sites. That is a form of torture. That is taking a person out of the you know, natural environment for a person to be in. We are social creatures. When we are you know, taken away of that ability to be social with each other, that is a form of torture. You know, torture does not only mean physical harm to the body, and it's never been defined that way in international law. And the fact is that the United States, you know, has invented new ways of torturing people.
But of course, they resort to some of the old ones. Anybody who's read General Taguba's report, Major General Taguba investigated Abu Ghraib, and when they start putting electrodes under the genitalia, you can't say that's anything else but torture. And yet, of course, he was forced to resign his commission because he told the truth about what happened there. And the average American has never heard that this went right up into the Pentagon.
Right, yeah. I mean, at the highest levels, you know, you have memos coming out of the White House that have said things like, you know, only acts that result in harm to the body that, you know, may, you know, cause death, really, or severe organ failure, really count as torture. But we know that there are so many kinds of things, horrible, evil things that can be done to a human body that constitute torture, but that might not constitute that particular threshold. I mean, it's just, we really have to stand up for values. We have to stand up for, you know, values of human dignity, values of what we are as a country. You know, what do we stand for?
Well, you certainly wonder, what do we stand for when the American people are not out in the streets demanding this stop, and when our political leaders and when our religious leaders essentially refuse to take a stand against this? I mean, you've cited a few people who have, but look at what our elected representatives are doing, and look at our political candidates. Look at the Democrat candidates running for president. Look at the Republican candidates running for president, and ask yourself, what's happened to the soul of America?
Well, I mean, you know, we do have major problems in what you're talking about there. And I think that what we have to do is look to what we can do in our communities to start addressing these problems. You know, we've started. We've helped groups around the country pass municipal resolutions and that call for an end to these policies and that uphold basic principles that we want our country to be standing upon. Now we have to take that further. You know, we need to make we might not be able to rely right away on our representatives to do the right thing. We certainly need to demand that they do, but if they don't, we still have to do the right thing. That's up to each individual to do what's morally right, and we need to be able to stand up for those things. You know, in our city councils, we need to demand that our local officials do everything they can to both raise their voices, to put pressure on Congress, but we also need to do everything that we can on a local level to protect civil liberties, because many of the policies that the government is relying on right now to promote its political agenda does rely on you know, local cooperation. And one of those areas, you know, because we're not only focused on torture issues, although that's a key, absolutely central issue, we're also very concerned about domestic surveillance.
Right.
In fact, the two issues are very connected. It's not like one and the other, but domestic surveillance is another thing that has been enabled by legislation like the so-called, this is quite a name actually, Protect America Act. It passed in August of this year, just before Congress went on recess. And the whole argument behind it was all fear-based. It was all, you know, Bush told Congress, like, if you do not pass this piece of legislation, you will be responsible when and if the next terrorist attack happens. But, you know, again and again, the evidence that suggests that somehow this kind of surveillance without a warrant is supposed to protect us is just not true. You know, what we're seeing with both issues like domestic surveillance and Military Commissions Act and so forth is a real move away from constitutional limits on state power.
And how do we know that they're just going after terrorists? Actually, we know that the Patriot Act and initially was used not only to go after terrorists, but to go after other criminals. And of course, we know they're criminals because they were convicted, but how many people out there were investigated that they were never convicted? They can use all of these things for monitoring people who are not terrorists. How can we be sure that this will only be used against terrorists? And we can't. They're using it against everybody in this country. We'll be back in just a moment here. The American Freedom Network.
car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Katz every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
How many of you battle the symptoms of failing health with toxic medications and inconvenient supplements? Do you feel like you've been fighting battles but losing the war? How about winning the war for a change? Introduce BioSuperfood in your diet and increase the metabolic activity of each cell in your body for greater repair, detoxification, and regeneration. Gain immediate energy, boost your immune system, and restore your health with extraordinary whole and organic nutrients in BioSuperfood. Win the war against disease. Call now, 877-288-9116.
If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call Rocky Mountain Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs and high definition also available.
Columbine Hearing Center understands your hearing, speaking, and listening problems. Call highly qualified, nationally certified audiologist Michelle Gross for your hearing test, hearing aid, and listening rehabilitation needs. With 25 years of experience, you will get accurate diagnosis and treatment, undivided attention, and service. Call 303-857-6688 for a personal hands-on evaluation. Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688. Financing Medicaid and Medicare available.
Back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning is Ben Groskop of the First Amendment Defense Committee. And before we go on, Ben, would you like to get out information on your organization? Do you have a web page, any place that people could go to get more information?
Yeah, people can go to the www.bordc.org, which stands for the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, bordc.org. And, you know, you can get in touch with us there. You can look at all the resolutions that have passed throughout the country. It's all sorted by each state where the resolutions have passed. You can read up on issues. You can get the latest news related to civil liberties issues and find incredible resources, including audio resources and various articles to help you understand more about what's going on with civil liberties in our country. And also, very importantly, how you can get active in your own community. Start a resolution campaign. Get, help your local government become more forthright in standing up to the government, federal government surveillance, and to state our unequivocal support of the Bill of Rights and all that it entails in terms of protecting people from unjust detention and from torture, from invasions of privacy, and more. The right to speak our minds freely without fear. Those are all crucial parts of what the Bill of Rights says it's something that we all need to hold high and stand up for.
Amen to that. Well, you know, one of the things that really bothers me is the fact that they are collecting dossiers on American citizens who are not terrorists. Why are they collecting all? Why are they doing all this data mining? Why are they suddenly so interested in being able to listen to email, to telephone conversations, and read emails and faxes, and collecting information, you know, on what we buy and where we go and where we travel and how much money we have in the bank and our finances and our health records and what books we read? I mean, this is not simply limited to terrorists. In fact, my understanding is that they have massive files on a lot of people involved in politics, and the FBI has files, and the military has files, and the CIA has files, and this whole idea of total information awareness program that the government set up through the military. This is frightening to me.
Well, there's a lot of different aspects to what you're bringing up there. One of the ones that we've been really focused on is this whole issue of the FBI issuing what are called national security letters. And this is the tool that the FBI has used for data mining. And what a national security letter is it's an administrative subpoena that any one of a certain group of FBI officials can issue to you if you are the representative of, say, a telecommunications company or a bank or a hospital or a library. All of those organizations have in common that they keep records, private records, on individuals. And what this says is that these NSLs were changed legally by the Patriot Act so that all that they had to do was say that an investigation is related. It's related in some kind of way to national security. Now, that's incredibly broad powers. It's not specific. It's not like, okay, we know about a particular terrorist threat, and what we need to do is get some more detailed information on that. It's just saying, you know, and what we found is actually partly because of the grassroots activism that was successful in winning some changes in the Patriot Act when it was reauthorized in 2005, we actually have now an audit, an internal audit, carried out by the Inspector General's office that came out in March 2007 that proves that the FBI has been dramatically abusing these powers. In fact, we know within the span of only about 3 years that we have data for that the FBI issued 143,000 of these letters to different organizations. So that, you know, those can go out to libraries as well. I mean, all these records that are made when people do all sorts of everyday things go into, you know, private databases, and then the government is taking all that information and putting it together, and with new advanced database technology, really creating huge, vast amounts of information on its citizens.
Well,
I think the reason that this is happening is because the government has a certain approach to fighting terrorism that looks at risk. This whole idea of if you put in all the information together, you will be able to see patterns that were not seen before. You'll be able to see patterns oh, this looks like suspicious activity over here, you know, because we have all the records compiled and we can see it all at once. This looks like terrorist activity. But of course the problem with that is that it's not specific. It's not normal crime fighting. It is looking for patterns, and sometimes people misunderstand patterns. Like if I buy a one-way ticket to somewhere, that might be for lots of different reasons. And the government shouldn't assume that just because, that's, for example, risky activity. Or if I'm interested in traveling to a country in the Middle East, again, a person may have many different reasons for wanting to do that, almost all of which are probably benign reasons. But the government should not be collecting all this information, because there's all sorts of assumptions that can go into, what the government considers to be risky. And it's getting us away from normal crime fighting, where we're looking at specific reasons for why we think a crime might be happening, and getting away from the requirement that probable cause be shown first. Instead, the idea is take all the information together and look at it.
But the thing is that they've been collecting dossiers on American citizens for years. I've seen my FBI file, my crime for 45 years. I've been a patriot. I've been trying to fight this move towards a tyrannical regime in America. And, page after page after page, blocked out. Every time I gave a speech anywhere in the country, they would have clippings on it. They're watching American citizens long before Christian threat of terrorism came in, and they're using, in my estimation, the threat of terrorism to massively expand this effort on surveillance on everyone. They've gone to the Department of Motor Vehicles all across America and purchased the pictures so they could put them in their data files. They lied about it, pretending to be private corporations, wanting to set up something to make it easier for cashiers to make sure that you were the person that was cashing the check, but it was really the Secret Service. They wanted everybody's picture. They wanted everybody's thumbprint. They're collecting database. They're collecting DNA bases on individuals. I mean, this is frightening. And where is the outcome?
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Why is Limumui in Fukuoidan renowned for health-giving powers on the Tongan Island? Limumui, a delicious bioavailable drink packed with Fukuoidan, not found in any land-based plant, vegetable, or grain. Over 700 scientific studies prove Fukuoidan a safe nutritional food, enhancing immunity, cellular health, and fighting a multitude of immune problems. Limumui, the Tongan secret to health. Call TNT now, 720-299-7525 or 720-299-7520.
Mankey Auto Body and Bright says staying in shape and lowering your fat intake reduces the chances of heart disease and early illness. Exercising daily along with your own commitment to better health will help you to keep fit for life. This message from the concerned staff of Mankey Auto Body, where they do everything in auto body, fender repairing, and complete painting services. They also work with insurance companies and insurance adjusters. Remember, for the best in auto body and fender work, it's Mankey Auto Body with four locations in the Brighton area. Call for estimates on road service at 303-654-1191. That's 303-654-1191, or visit them at www.mankeyautobody.com.
Greetings, John Lofton, recovering Republican here. Are you like me? Does everything you see, read about, or hear make you want to? Yeah, do that. If so, then you really should hear our program, The American View. It starts right here on KHNC Radio, November 5th at 10 a.m. And though I have strong views, I do consider the opinion of others.
Why don't you get a toupee with some brains in it?
That's The American View, November 5th, 10 a.m.
Now is the time to begin to heal the planet.
Zip it, Al. Return the prize.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, I guess this morning, I'm Ben Gosgrove, and we're talking about, of course, collecting dossiers on American citizens. We know the FBI's been collecting files. They've violated the laws, but nobody's ever punished in government for violating the laws. We know that the Defense Department keeps files, the FBI keeps files, Transportation Agency keeps files. I mean, do we have any idea how many files there are and how many files on different people there are?
Well, I mean, in different, because there's all sorts of different ways that the surveillance is carried out. You know, I talked about the national security letters. We don't know how many individual records have been taken up by those 143,000 that were sent out during that time, but we know that it probably was very extensive. I mean, I think one of the basic driving problems here is that, you know, if you are a government bureaucrat in one of these intelligence agencies, one thing you don't get punished for is for you know, collecting too much information. You only get punished if you don't collect enough. The logic behind that is, you know, we need to get all the information in the world possible because, you know, in there we're going to find some kind of significant piece of information. But the fact is the government is drowning in information. It's not helpful for actually fighting crime or for fighting terrorism. It's only helpful for, you know, just generating huge amounts of information on people.
But don't you think it intimidates people when they know that the government is watching, is collecting dossiers on them? I mean they have the ability to listen to our cell phones, to track where our car is. Oh, they want to know our health records. Why do they want to know our health records?
Well, you know, There's a lot of money to be made in this business. I mean, one of the things the government is doing is contracting out a lot of its core functions, including surveillance functions, including data mining functions, to private corporations who are there to really cash in on the whole affair.
But how do we know that won't be made public? I mean, the government promises, you know, we would never use your Social Security for anything but Social Security, and yet, of course, we find out that all of our records many times are being stolen, even from government computers. How can we trust them not to misuse the information or to get this released to private individuals or private corporations?
Well, the only way to do that is if we get some real accountability. You know, our government needs to be accountable to we, the people. And, you know, if the more that you know, these decisions become removed from regular people, the more authority is handed over to the executive, we're not going to be able to have meaningful checks and balances. You know, and the thing that really makes it out of control is that there's a basic wrong idea behind the whole system of centralizing all the information. If you do that, it's trying to impose security from the top down. And again, instead of dealing with specific threats, you know, you collect all the information first, and then you look for patterns that indicate risk. What we need is an approach that really empowers, you know, our communities to be looking out for real suspicion, real problems, and we need to not just trust that our government is going to do that for us. Too often, you know, when you make security, as we're also seeing in places like Iraq now with the Blackwater Corporation, when you make that a privatized endeavor and not an endeavor that is supporting the public well-being, that is a recipe for disaster.
And yet we see the same Blackwater down in New Orleans during the flood there, collecting guns, going door to door. And I don't know what else they were doing besides taking away the only means that the people had of defending themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we just have to have a different way of thinking about how to deal with disasters that come up, whether it's a hurricane or whether it's wildfires. We can't always rely on the central government to do the best job. What we need is local governments that are more you know, able to really deal effectively with the things that affect people's safety. And you know, there's a lot of things that affect people's safety, and We need to have more democracy in order to be able to determine what those real threats are, and then to be able to work together as communities to address them.
Well, do you think they're using the threat of terrorism to justify this centralization of all power with the executive branch of government and simply bypassing totally Congress and the judicial, as they did certainly with the Military Commission Act, where the courts can't intervene?
I think that the threat of terrorism has been incredibly abused. It puts out of context, you know, other kinds of things that we ought to be concerned about. It's all about fear, you know, and when people are scared, oftentimes, people will say, hey, well, we need to get, the central government to fix us. I mean, they almost become like a father figure. Like when you're scared, you know, you think, oh, go to daddy, you know, he'll help. Government is not our daddy. Government should be we the people making decisions for ourselves to protect public well-being, and not just about enriching big private corporations that want to make a buck off of the new security market, which is out there. I mean, it is a multi-billion dollar market that has been created in response to the perceived threat of terrorism. And when you look at all the social needs that are out there, it just doesn't seem like a good way to prioritize things.
I certainly agree with you. And of course, I'm concerned about the legislation that the president passed, enacted unilaterally there on the 9th of May. We're out of time, but that's the presidential directive. Really frightening. Ben, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Stan.
Some of our other programs.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245. KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Greetings, John Lofton, recovering Republican here. Are you like me? Does everything you see, read about, or hear make you want to... Yeah, do that. If so, then you really should hear our program, The American View. It starts right here on KHNC Radio, November 5th at 10 a.m. And though I have strong views, I do consider the opinion of others.
Why don't you get a toupee with some brains in it?
That's The American View, November 5th, 10 a.m.
Now is the time to begin to heal the planet.
Zip it out. Return the prize.
Network, you must understand we're moving towards a dictatorship. We have people in Washington, D.C. who've always wanted a dictatorship. We've got, of course, a great four-tape or four-CD set on the Military Commission Act, which covers much of what we've talked about this morning. And we have a great new syllabus called the Planned Police State, and we'll be giving that talk this weekend at our seminar, the Planned Police State, and you'll certainly want to get that. The syllabus is available, but there will be the talk will be available in a week or two. You have to understand the forces that work behind the scenes. Did a great interview yesterday evening with a gentleman who's been studying and tracking the Bilderbergers for since 1995, about 12 years. I mean, they've tried to kill him. They've tried to bribe him. Great book. Sold millions of copies in Europe, The Bilderbergers, The True Story of the Bilderbergers. And it's just coming to the United States. Not one major publisher would touch it. Well, one of them considered it until they found out what it was a book about, and then, of course, they wouldn't dare touch it, or they'd lose their jobs. However, our friend Chris Milligan has brought it out. We do have the book of the Bilderbergers, and you'll want to get it and read it. And understand that there are powerful people control banking, corporations, and government, and they've worked together in concert. And, of course, the major corporations, certainly the people who run for the president are all approved by the Bilderbergers, and they really control what goes on behind the scenes, along with the Trilateral Commission, the CFR. They all overlap. They work together. But what everybody has missed is behind them are powerful spiritual forces. And that's why my latest talk on the planned peace police state is so important, because we give you the documentation from the other side as to what their plan is. If you have not yet heard my talk on the forbidden secret, you need to get that along with the syllabus, the 4-tape or 4-CD set on the secret behind the secret, and then, of course, the 4-tape or 4-CD set, The Supernatural, and finally, Constance Combe's, either her DVD or her 4-tape set, taking you into the occult movement, which, of course, energizes the CFR, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission. And unless you get to the real source of this, and that's what they really don't want you to do, you can talk all you want to about the danger of communism or even about the Council on Foreign Relations, but don't ever point out they were a front for a secret occult organization that was formed in the last century, and behind that are these truly demonic forces which rule the world from behind the scenes today. So basically, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. Let me suggest the Military Commission Act. That's 1-800-544-8927. And the 4-tape set on the Military Commission Act. We have another one on the North American Union, another one on globalism. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. We have tape sets on everything imaginable, how they're poisoning our children, how they're destroying their minds. Why do you think our kids can't compete when they graduate from high school and tested competitively with kids from other countries? They're intentionally destroying the minds of our children. One in every six American children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality, and probably everyone has had their minds damaged by the aspartame, the NutraSweet we put in their childhood cereals, and of course the fluoride in the water, the mercury we put in the vaccine, and we're still giving it to them. Don't think for one minute they've taken it out of childhood vaccines. They leave it in the vaccine. They give the children influenza vaccine. That's why they want them vaccinated, and especially the elderly, because it leads to Alzheimer's disease, and there are too many elderly out there. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Want to talk to the American Freedom